talking about a few different things here. Well, actually, our main topic is our identification in Christ. This is something I've been looking at myself and looking at the last little while. And last time I spoke, which was what, last Wednesday? 2 Wednesdays ago? Something like that? I touched on just a portion of this, and I really felt led to kind of dive a little deeper into this section. And so, tonight we're going to look at our identification in Christ. Who we are in Christ. And this is a very big topic, and this is a very interesting topic, and we're only going to barely scratch the barely surface of the barely topic, because this is such an in-depth conversation we can have on this. And, you know, just want to bring in a few scriptures and just show you a few things and encourage you this evening. How many of you know it's very easy to fall into a trap of feeling belittled or feeling inadequate or not feeling good enough to do something? You ever feel that way? Oh, I feel that way. I feel that way every now and then. You know, you don't always feel like you're good enough to do something, you know? You know, that's not a good feeling, now is it? And a lot of times we play it up ourselves in our head. We're either nervous of trying something new or doing something new. So it's a little bit interesting for sure. So, you know, when you think about that, about, you know, feeling down and that, it's not a good feeling. I don't like that feeling when I feel like I'm being limited or I'm not, you know, I just don't like that feeling. Now, I want to tell you something here tonight, is that you don't have to feel that way. You know, you're not a nobody. You're a somebody. And that's exciting to know that we are somebodies. Is there anybody that's a somebody in this place? That's right. All right. Well, our text this evening that we're going to use, we're actually going to be all over the place, but I figure this would be a fitting one to open up with. It's found in Luke chapter 8, verse 43, New King James Version. New King James Version. It says, "Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and all those with him said, 'Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, "Who touched me?" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and fell down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all, in all the people, the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now, let me give you a little background on this lady. We know her as the woman with the issue of blood. Well, she should be known as the woman that was healed from the issue of blood. Okay? Because after she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she was completely made whole. Now, the scripture kind of gives us a little glimpse here. She spent all of her money, everything she had, to find a cure for her issue. And she was literally at her wit's end. Well, why would you say that, Pastor Steve? Well, the fact that she was there in the crowd, she was risking her life because she was not supposed to be out in public. If she was caught, she could be arrested and possibly killed. Are you listening to me? So she was at her absolute wit's end, and to everyone around her, she was a nobody. But Jesus, when he felt that healing virtue go out of him, he didn't say, "Nobody touched me." He said, "Somebody touched me." And from that moment, she went from a nobody to a somebody. Because she touched the hem of the garment. As soon as she came in contact with the Savior, boom, her life was changed. Now you're listening to me tonight. You are not a nobody, but you are a somebody. We are the children of God. Co-heirs with Christ. The righteousness of God in Christ, we are in Him. That is who we are. Like I said, it's easier to see ourselves in a lesser capacity than what we should. A lot of times we cut ourselves short of what we're actually capable of doing. It's amazing what you're capable of doing once you start reaching out and start getting outside your comfort zone. You'll learn different things. You know, you become more, it's funny how it happens because, you know, I was kind of nervous at doing certain things. I was frightened to death of heights. I when I first moved to Thunder Bay, after we bought our house, a shingle on my roof fell loose. And I wouldn't get up there and fix it because I hated heights. I actually had to swallow my pride one day and go over and knock on my neighbor's door and ask him if he could come over and help me because there was no way in this world I was getting up on that roof. And through the progress of time and whatnot and working with some of these guys, mostly Nathan, I didn't want to be a pansy in front of these other guys. And so, you know, I started getting a little braver and I started getting up on ladders. And next thing you know, I was up and I was shingling a roof with the guys when we were building my garage. And now I'm hanging from the rafters and doing different things. And now it's not that I don't have a fear of heights anymore, but I have a respect for heights now. Amen? Now you see, you can get over things and you can do things. You don't have to be limited. You don't have to limit yourself. And a lot of times we do that. Well, am I capable of climbing a ladder? Most definitely. You know? Am I okay to climb on a roof? Yeah, I can do that. But mentally, was I confident enough to do it at that time? No. But praise God, I was able to overcome that and work at it. It was a mental thing with me, but I overcame that. Well, you see, in life, it's the same thing. We belittle ourselves a lot of times because we don't know who we are and what we're capable of doing, and we cut ourselves short of being able to do something. You see, God created us to be awesome. He really, truly did. We were not designed to be a second-class, second-rate being. Scripture told us that we were created in the image and in the likeness of God. Right back in Genesis, it tells us that very plainly. But yet we tend to cut ourselves short because we have no clue on who we are. We don't know who we are in Christ. We don't know that we are in Him and what belongs to us. You know? A lot of people think of themselves, and I've had conversations with people, and they're really down. You know, oh, I'm a screw-up. You know, I can't do nothing right. I'm this. It's like, whoa, settle down now. You're not a mistake. You're not a screw-up, but you are a precious child of God, is who you are. All right, that went over like a ton of bricks. But like I said in our text in Luke chapter 8, that woman was very, very ill. But you see, she done something. And she put some things into action there. The first thing that she did there was she spoke. She confessed. She said, if I could touch the hem of his garment. You know what else she done there? She acted in faith. Two very important things for nobodies to turn into somebodies. You have to confess and you have to act. Are you listening to me? You see, unless we're speaking it and we're believing it, there ain't going to be no change. And this is where we fall short a lot of the times. Now, we've established that we're not nobodies. We are somebodies, amen? So let's ask this question again. Who in this place is a somebody? That's good. That's good. You know, in the New Testament, it makes over 140 references to the in him realities. Well, what do you call them those, Pastor Steve? In him, in Christ, in whom, in the beloved, in Christ, all those make reference to who we are in the Lord type thing. It's 140 of them, over 140. Now, when you think about it, that means there's a lot of emphasis put on something that we need to know. You know, it's a very vast subject here, the in him realities. And it's not something for us to be taken lightly, because if we don't know who we are as Christians and children of God, well, then we are cutting ourselves extremely short of the goodness and all the things that God has for our lives. See, we will not be walking in the fullest potential and be able to walk in the plan that God has set before us because we're ignorant of his word, and we don't know what he wants for us. Amen? It's the same thing, you know, The big talk right now is this big lotto million thing. Just like, what, $60 million or something is this lotto ticket? Well, just, I don't buy lotto tickets. I don't endorse it. But I think it's a good illustration here that if you went off and you bought a ticket and you just put it in your pocket and you forgot about it, but you had the winning ticket. You never went and checked it. Well, it's the same thing. You see, once we became born again, you know, we got every spiritual blessing, everything that God could give us. We got it. But unless we activate it and we go scan it and we go, you know, we go check that ticket, you know, it might be the winner. But unless we do something about it, it will never benefit us. Are you listening to me? So, but once we become born again and we start getting into the in Him realities and start realizing, man, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, Jesus did heal me. Wow. All these things belong to me. Well, when we start realizing this and we start confessing these things with our mouths and start believing them in our heart, something has to change. But a lot of times, it's like having that winning lotto ticket in our pocket. It's just there. Well, let's look at some of these things. A very important thing that we need to do in order to see ourselves as a somebody, and I already touched on this, is but we have to have the right confession. This is very important that we have the right confession. What you hide in your heart, you'll find on your tongue. And so, well, how do we get the right confession? Well, we have to start speaking the positive things. We have to start speaking life. We have to start speaking the things that God has spoke to us. And well, what has God spoke to us? How do I find out? Well, it's in this beautiful thing called the Bible. And it's all full of information about what God has written to me and you. You know, there's all types of stuff. You come to church and you listen to some dynamic speakers. You hear some great things, you know. You read some awesome books. Our bookstore is full of them. There's things that we can devour and we can eat so that we can learn, so we can put it in our hearts so that it can change our thinking. Amen? Our confession rule us. What we say has a crazy amount of power. Crazy amount. In 1 John 1, 9 in the King James Version, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then over in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe thine heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession he made unto salvation. So what does that mean? In order for us to become born again and get access to all this greatness, we had to say something. At one time or another, we had to confess Jesus with our mouth. If you're in this place and you're born again, and you say you love Jesus and you belong to God, well, then at some point in your life, you had to have confessed Him and said, Lord, I take You as my Savior. And you see, that's a faith confession right there. You had to say it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. Amen. In order to receive salvation, we have to confess Jesus. And this is where we start. Then what we say is our confession, good or bad. It will affect us either way. So if you got negative things coming out of your mouth all day long, well, negative things is going to happen to you. If you got positive things coming out of your mouth all day long, positive things are going to happen to you. Amen? It just keeps on giving. That's right. The gift that keeps on giving. You got to be positive. And people, you know, and I'm even like, you know, you catch myself sometimes saying things I shouldn't be saying. You ever be a negative Nancy? If your name is Nancy and you're negative, I'm sorry, but you shouldn't be a negative Nancy, okay? But if, you know, you ever be negative? Be honest in here. Anyone ever be negative? Yeah. Right? Well, we got a few honest people in this place. Anybody be negative in this place? Come on now. Here we go. Yeah. You know, sometimes it feels good for a few moments to be negative, doesn't it? It does. It's so easy to criticize something. It's so easy to always look at the bad. Try and turn it around and say something positive about that same situation. Well, he's got nice teeth. Well, you know, that's a start. But you see, you have to say good things. You have to be positive. Confession. Man, the words that come out of your mouth, like I said, what you hide on your heart, what you're putting inside of you is what eventually is going to come out of you. And when the pressure gets on, when the situation gets tough, and things start being squeezed and squeezed and squeezed, well, what's on the inside is going to come out, good or bad. Amen? You got to watch that. Sometimes certain things can slip out, and it's not the greatest. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2 in the New Living Translation. It says, "You have been trapped with the words of your lips. You have been caught with the words of your mouth." If we don't speak the right things about ourselves, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. If you really believe something in your heart, positive or negative, and you speak it, you're really going to get it. You're really going to get it. No matter what it is. All right. So what are we supposed to be confessing as believers? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. Well, we're supposed to be confessing our faith in Jesus. Second one is our faith in God, our Heavenly Father. Third one is our faith in the Word of God. And you confess on those things, they all work together and they make a completeness so that we're walking in the positive light. In order to be a somebody, we have to confess that we are a somebody and we have to believe it. We have to believe it just not up here, but in here. And what we hide on our hearts, we'll find on our tongues. The second thing that we need to do to ourselves as a somebody, or to see ourselves as a somebody, is to find out what the Lord has done for us and how He sees us. Sometimes we might find that a little bit difficult to see on how God sees us or what He says about us. But you know, like I said, there's 140 plus references in the Bible referring to in Him, in Christ, you know, our identification, that we belong to Him. And so it's not something to be taken lightly, ladies and gentlemen. This is something to get excited about and look. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to spit a lot of scriptures at you tonight because I want to show you guys this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If we confess Jesus with our mouth and believe Him in our hearts, well, then we're not the same person we used to be. We are a new creature in Christ. Where are we? In Christ. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Your spirit man has been made new. You are a new person. You're not the same person you were. Things have changed now. That's cool. It's pretty awesome. 2 Corinthians 5:2. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Okay, let's read that again. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Basically, we no longer have to belong to sin because Jesus paid the price for us and He made us the righteousness of God in Christ. We can come before the Father right standing. We can come before God into His throne room as if we'd never sinned before in our lives. You see, we become before Him as perfect. He sees us as whole. But yet we're too busy thinking of ourselves as nobodies. And Jesus, when He died on the cross, He made an opportunity for me and you to be a somebody. This is getting good. Are you still with me tonight? All right, good. Are you getting anything? Good, good. Romans 8:1. "There is therefore Now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, once again, those of us that are in Christ Jesus, there's no more condemnation. We don't have to deal with that. That's kind of exciting when you think about it. We're no longer condemned. We've been made righteous because we're in Christ. Our identification is pretty cool. There's a lot in this. Man, I don't have to be sick. I'm made pure and holy. I don't have to feel condemned about myself. Man, this identification thing is pretty cool. I like this. We don't have to feel condemned for what we've done because we belong to God and God made us new. Woo! 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Well, this scripture verse really sums it up, doesn't it? There's a lot in there. But of him are we in Christ. Once again, how many of you are in Christ in here? All right. Whom God has made unto us. Look at this. This is what you got. Wisdom. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm smart. Don't laugh too hard. Okay. Yeah, we got wisdom. And look at this. Look what else we got. And righteousness. And something else. Sanctification. We're sanctified. Set apart. Made holy. And look at this. And redemption. Man, all these things that belong to us. That belongs to you. And here we are. We thought we were a bunch of nobodies. Frightened to death to climb on a ladder. No, man. We're greater than that. We're greater than that. Because we are in Christ. We are in him. In whom? In the beloved. We belong to Jesus. We're not who we were. We've been changed. Amen? All right. You guys are sort of waking up a little bit. We might get there before 8 o'clock. We'll see. We belong to Christ. We have his wisdom and his righteousness, and he saved us. Man, that's good to know. Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. I told you you're going to get a lot of scripture tonight. If you come to church and you get none, I'd be concerned. All right. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have been plucked out of the dark realm, out of darkness. Put that scripture verse back up there, please. For he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You see, we are no longer a part of Satan's domain. Once we became born again, he lost his legal right to hold on to us. That's how simple it is to go from that evil garbage, is you have to accept the Lord. You see, Satan wants to hold us there. And if he can fill our heads full of all this garbage, saying you're nobody, you're worthless, you're the most unrighteous person on the face of the planet, you're sick, you're going to die. What are the doctors saying about you? You got lumps and bumps and thumps and jumps inside you everywhere. You know, you got all this stuff that's wrong with you. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not what the scripture says. And you see, our reality is what the word of God says about us. Because the Lord is not bipolar. And I learned this in Bible school. We spent a full class on this, talking about how the Lord was not bipolar. On how he never changes his mind on something. He's not schizophrenic either. He's stolid and steadfast. And when he said something, that's it. It's final. It is settled. He never changes his mind. So if he says that I am sanctified, if he says I am the righteousness of God in Christ, if he said that I am healed, well, guess what? I'm that. I'm a somebody. My identification is I'm somebody in Christ. Amen? Like that woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment, everyone around her thought she was a nobody, but Jesus knew she was a somebody. Because the words that come out of his mouth was, somebody touched me. Because if he didn't care, he wouldn't have said nothing. Because there was lots of people touching him that day. There was lots of people crowding around him that day. But as soon as she touched him, something changed. You see, we have to be willing to go after the Lord. We have to get to the place to where we want to grab on to the hem of his garment. Are you listening to me? Because once we get a hold of the hem of his garment, never the same again. You know, I believe right now we've only had glimpses of him. As I feel that once we get a hold on Jesus, we get it rooted down on the inside of us, man, our lives will start changing. Our spirit, man, will start growing. Things will happen on the inside. It will start manifesting on the outside. Are you listening to me? You'll walk down the street, man, and people will start falling out because you're just walking down there. And man, the glory of God will be so strong. Come on. You'll sit down for a cup of coffee in Tim Hortons and everybody will just get up and start dancing around in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Come on. I see, I believe those things can happen. I've had people, I've been in good services, man. I mean, whoo, exciting services. And you're so pumped up. A couple days later, someone look at me. What's wrong with you? And I thought I was just normal. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean what's wrong? I'm fine, no. She's like, no, you're different. You're glowing. What are you talking about? You're freaking me out. You're weird. No, you look different. You look at, you see, people will see the difference on you once we get a hold of this. Who's a somebody? Good. Good, 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 good. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Only 18 more pages of notes to go. We're doing good, guys. You're doing good, don't you? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Are you seeing that there? Himself. Himself. Guess what? Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. What's infirmities and sicknesses? Grossness, garbage, sick, garbage. It's not for us. And you see, once we became in Christ, it no longer belongs to us anymore. It doesn't belong to me. Heart condition doesn't belong to us. Cancer doesn't belong to us. Back pain doesn't belong to us. You know, all those things doesn't belong to us. It's not ours. We don't have that. See, sometimes we experience symptoms in our body. And sometimes we go through stuff. You know, I've been there. But here's the thing. We have to know who we are in Christ. Because we have to line our faith up with what the Word says. And the Word of God says, well, he himself took our infirmities and our sicknesses. And so if he himself took our sin and our sicknesses and our infirmities, well, if that's gone, it doesn't belong to me. I don't have it anymore. Are you listening to me? You don't have it anymore. So we confess it. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. He himself took my infirmities. He himself took my sickness. Come on now. We've been healed. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We belong to the Lord. The greater one lives in us, and he is greater than the devil. That's a somebody right there. See, now you can say you can't touch this, because it's true. We belong to the Lord, and he is greater than Satan, greater than the devil. Romans 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, I really like this one. Through him. See this? In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Say this together. Through him that loved us. God loves us so much that he made us more than conquerors. Like, conquerors are pretty cool. They take things over. So we're the people that are taking over those that take things over. In order to be more than a conqueror. You ever think about that? Conquerors are pretty cool. They go in and they do the work, and they work at it. They dig hard. They got to fight hard. They got to do what they got to do. Well, we're so great, we're more than conquerors. We're overtaking those guys. Amen? Those guys are in there doing all the work. We're going to come behind them, and we're going to defeat them and overtake it all, because we're greater than that. Amen? We're more than conquerors. Woo! And what are you talking about? We're afraid of being on a ladder. We should be able to walk on two ladders down the street. Amen? Use them for stilts. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not that dumb. All right? There we go. Philippians 4:13. Yes, thank you. Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Through Christ. Once again, through Christ. Through Christ, we can do anything. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. See, somebody's, we can do these things because we're in Christ. We're doing it through Christ. We're more than overcomers. We are healed. Man, oh man, the more we dig into this, and no, I promise you, I'm not going to go through all 140 of these tonight, even though it's a lot of fun, is it not? But I'm going to challenge you to get into the Word and find out why all 140 of them's got to do. When we were in Bible school, my wife sat down, and she actually wrote every single one of them out in a notebook. I know, she's crazy, that lady. You know, she's got to be. She married me. Man, she's nuts. But you know, she done that. One day I came home and said that she was writing something down in her notebook. I'm like, what are you doing, Kendra? You're pretty intense in that. She wasn't writing out all the in him scriptures. What? What? She goes, yeah. I said, what are you doing that for? She said, I want to know what they are. I think that's pretty awesome. And you see, there's a whole bunch of them. This little book that we got in the Word Shop, right here. And there's a bunch of them listed out here in the back. There's a whole bunch of them. All in Christ, in him, in the beloved, in the Lord, in whom? By Christ, by him, by himself, by his blood, by whom? From whom? Of Christ, of him, through Christ, through him, with Christ, with him, by me, in my love, in his name. Yeah. In him. There's all types of scriptures in there. What were these books for in the Word Shop? What were you selling for, like $2? How much? $2. You go in and get this today. I challenge you to do this. It's a good sales pitch for the Word Shop. But anyway, go in there and get this and use it as a study aid. Because if you want to know your identification on who you are in Christ, well, it's spelled out here. We just looked at a few different things. We talked about healing. We talked about righteousness. We talked about we're conquerors. You know, we can overcome things. You know, we just touched on a few subjects there, a few scripture verses. But there's so many more that's listed out in this little book that's found in the Word of God that we can go in and search out ourselves and see what's in there. Because the more you learn, the more you grow, well, then you start to realize that your identification in Christ is pretty unique. It's pretty interesting. It's pretty large. Because you are actually a part of Jesus. He lives on the inside of us. Once we confessed him with our mouth and believed in our heart, you see, we welcomed him in, and now we are engrafted in Christ. We are put together. Are you listening to me? We belong to God. And so you cannot separate us. Whatever God gave to Jesus belongs to us also. Scripture said that God gave Jesus every spiritual blessing. He gave him everything. And you know what's really cool, Miss Grace? Is that because we're connected up with Jesus, we are the body of Christ, everything that God gave to Jesus automatically belongs to me and you also. Ooh. Miss Grace, healing belongs to us. Prosperity belongs to us, Miss Grace. Man, that's exciting. That all these things, the righteousness, man, the righteousness alone is fantastic. We are not the same. Our lives have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, and we've been brought over into the light. No, you're not a nobody. No, you're not. You're a great somebody. You are a somebody. Point to yourself and say, I'm a somebody. I belong to God. I'm a somebody. Jesus loves me. I'm a somebody. I love God. Woo! Amen. That's exciting when you know these things. I'm a somebody. I'm a somebody. When you feel down and sad, you got to remind yourself that. Because no one else is going to come up to you and say, you're somebody. You got to remind yourself that you're somebody. That Jesus loves you. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. If you're a nobody, nobody got plans for you. Ain't nobody got time for that. But if you're a somebody, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the person that created the heavens and the earth, the great I am, the one that created everything, the Alpha and Omega, he came up with a plan. He knows everything about you. And he's blessed you with everything. Woo! See, it all belongs to you. Don't go telling me you're a nobody. Because, man, we're a bunch of somebodies up in here. And you see, we need to be sharing this word, and we need to be encouraging other people and saying, hey, you're a somebody. Well, what do you mean I'm a somebody? Well, duh, yeah, Steve. Yeah, but you're a somebody in Christ. What? What are you talking about? Well, let me tell you. We are somebodies. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? That's very exciting. In our text in Luke chapter 8, the woman was despised and looked down upon. And like I said, the very fact of her being in the crowd could have gotten her in a lot of trouble. And she was definitely considered a nobody. You see, you might be in a situation tonight where you feel like you're a nobody. You might feel like everyone's been down on you, and that you're sad, you're depressed, or all those things that's going on in your life. Well, these few scriptures that we went over tonight, hopefully they can encourage you to realize that you are a somebody. Because like that woman with the issue of blood, everyone else thought she was nothing. But to Jesus, to God, she's a precious child. A prized possession. Someone that's worth so much. You might say, Pastor Steve, I don't feel like I'm worth much. I'm going to tell you, you're worth a lot. When I feel like that little scripture verse that we all learn in Sunday school, John 3:16, it always comes flying back at me. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved me that he sent Jesus to save me, Jesus died on the cross for me. God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for you so that you could have eternal life, so that you wouldn't be a nobody, but you could be a great somebody. It's exciting to know that we are a bunch of somebodies in this place. I'm a somebody. I'm a somebody. Anybody in here a somebody? Anybody in here a somebody? I think we're somebodies. I believe that God has a great and mighty plan for each and every single one of us in this place. I don't think it's by mistake. I don't think it's by whatever. I don't think that you're a screw up. Lord, don't make mistakes. Lord, don't make mistakes. We got our own work to do on ourselves. We're all projects. I like that song that Pastor Ken sings every now and then. He's still working on me to make me what I am. This is on his greatest hit CD. You can pick it up in the workshop too. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. I remember being Ben and Abby's age and singing that in the church choir as a kid. And belting it out of us, man, as loud as we possibly could. Because we were frightened to death of the choir director, man. She was a crazy lady. Sing louder. He's still working on me! We were singing with so much vigor and passion, man, that it stuck with me forever. And when the first time I heard Pastor Ken sing that, started bringing back like flashbacks of Vietnam, man. I was looking for a rabbit hole to go hide down, you know? But it's so true that, yes, God's still working on me. I'm still working on me. But I am a somebody in Christ. Amen? We're all somebody in Christ. We're not nobodies. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. We are who God says we are. So if the Word of God says we're healed, we're healed. If the Word of God says we're blessed, that's right. If the Word of God says we are righteousness, we are? That's right. Woo! Let's just praise Him for a few moments. Let's just thank Him for being so awesome to give us all these blessings. Come on, guys. We just need to focus on God for a few minutes. And just thank Him for making us somebodies. For taking us out of sin and sickness and disease and darkness. And putting us over into the light. Yes! Oh, Lord, we just worship you. We just praise you. And we thank you, Father. That, Lord, that we are somebodies. We are more than conquerors. That we are healed. Yes! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Man, it's good. It's good. Very good to know these things. There we go. Hallelujah. You know what? Before we close the service, Pastor said he's got some books there for anybody who would like to have a healing book. That's good. Actually, that's a really good one. We've had those here before. Yeah. Healing scriptures and stuff in there. You see, that's another good resource right there. There's all types of information in here. This is all healing scriptures. So you're dealing with different things, stomach issues, stress, snake bite even. Look at this. My goodness, parasites, poisoning, pneumonia. This needs to be next to your phone book. Instead of calling poison control, you pick up Jesus. Come on now. Look, if you got problems with your gums, hey, those of you that are balding, there's prayer for here for your hair. Hallelujah, scriptures for here. Hands, come on now. Feet, some of y'all need that. Fever, fatigue, ears, eating disorders. No, I don't have that problem. Okay. My goodness, and there's all these scriptures in here. You see, this is how we grow and we learn. Because if we start confessing these things as well, so now you got two books. Okay? So you got to go out in the word shop and you got to go get that little one I told you to get. And then you're going to, if you want this one, you got to get this one as well. Because this is how we grow and we come to know on who we are in Christ. Amen? So the Word of God says we're healed, and there's a lot of scriptures marked out in here that we can see. Epilepsy, look at this. Ears, chronic sickness, cold, cuts. There's even one here for constipation. Look at this. I got to read this one. Matthew 15:17. Do not ye yet understand that whatever entered into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the draught? So whatever goes in's got to come out. It can't stay plugged. Hallelujah. That's called deliverance ministry right there. I feel someone's being delivered right now from constipation. Quick, go to the washroom. Go. Man, this is good. Pastor, I'm going to preach from this one next time. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Scabies. Gross. Pneumonia. Woo. Yeah. Oh, boy. Memory. Kendra, that's a good one for me. I need to confess these memory scriptures. Amen. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word, Kendra. I'm going to get a tattoo of that across my forehead. Psalm 119:16. You know, I know we're making light of it, but it is true. We get it, the word into us, amen? There's all types of fun stuff, you know? Some people, they dread getting in and studying the word of God. It's fun to study the word. Church is fun. Hearing about the word of God is fun. Hallelujah. Amen? Well, before we close down, if there's anyone in this place and you need Jesus, if you need Jesus, you really need to get back on track with Him. You think things have drifted away or whatever, and you want to have Jesus in your life. You want to get back on track with Him. With every head bowed, every eye closed in this place, nobody looking around. If you want to make sure that you are in Him, in Christ, no one looking around. If that's you, I want you to slip your hand up. If you want to make sure, you're not 100% sure tonight. Good, good. Man, we're all believers in here. We all know who we are in Christ, or that we belong to Christ. That's good. Well, I'm going to say a prayer as we close. I'm going to pray over each and every one of us. I pray that God is going to strengthen us, that we're going to learn and we're going to grow, we're going to develop. Father God, I just thank you right now for your word. And Lord, I just thank you for being so awesome that you loved us. And Father God, you've set us free. You've delivered us. You've healed us. You've blessed us, Lord. Father God, I thank you that we are in Christ, we belong to you. That we're not the same person we used to be, but we are a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. And Father God, I pray for each person that's in this place. Lord, I pray that their desire is to learn and grow, Father, and go after the things that you have for them, Lord. And Father God, that they'll get into the Word, and whatever situations is bugging them, Lord, that they'll see what you have to say about it, and that your answers, all God's promises, are yes and amen. That it belongs to us. And Father God, I just thank you for your healing power right now. Just flowing in this place. And Father God, I just thank you that you're just ministering to people right now. I just felt it as I was just praying. I actually felt somebody, you had something go into you. You felt the warm body, something happened to you. You felt tingly. You've been dealing with some issue or something, but you just felt the healing power go into you. Come on now. I just felt that happen. Hallelujah. Spend 30 more seconds in His presence, guys. Let's just let God move. Hallelujah. Just stretch your hands towards heaven. Let's all just receive from Him right now. And let's just thank Him. Let's just thank Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you came in here with an ailment, you just thank Him that you have the answer. Let's just thank Him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We just thank you tonight. We thank you for your healing power. Yes, Holy Spirit, have your way. Yes, never the same. Back pain has to go. Leg pain has to go. Stomach issues has to go. Yes. Headaches have to go. Yes. Just thank Him for it, guys. Woo. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Depression has to go. Confusion has to go. Yes. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Yes. pains in someone's feet, legs, has to go right now. It doesn't belong there. Yes. Yes. New soles in their feet. Amen. I don't mean doctor soles either. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you. I'm glad I came to church tonight. I enjoyed this. I got a lot out of it. I learned a lot myself. And hopefully you got something too. So remember, you're not a nobody, but you're a... That's right. Go tell somebody that they're a somebody. Amen? And don't tell nobody, but tell somebody. Amen. Have a good night. Be blessed. Hey, just so you know, that if you want a copy of that in hymn book, they are covered for whoever wants it. Someone is going to pay for them for you. So, Word Shop people, just keep track, okay? And let me know.